Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, football ramble time. James is here.
Hi.
Peter's here.
Yeah.
Lukey Moore's here.
All right.
The Premiership's over.
Not forever.
Not forever. Yeah, we
start for up some again of us in it is, August. Yeah.
Start up again in about 2 weeks.
It tends to do that. But before we do that, before we talk about that, FA Cup final songs. What's
exactly,
your favourites?
Exactly, it's FA Cup final day on Saturday, Marcus.
It is, yeah.
I did the links for you, July.
Well, you won the competition to do the opening ones, so there
right?
You go.
Okay.
FA Cup final songs, gentlemen. What ones do we remember?
I can remember Chaz and Dave Tottenham one with Ozzy Ardiles. Something about his legs going all trembly or something.
Ozzy's going to Wembley.
It, yeah.
His knees have gone all trembly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, remember that.
Come
one.
On, you. Good one. Good yeah, one.
Do they ever bother the charts, these ones?
Do they bother the charts?
They don't mature anymore, do they?
No. And in a way, I think that's why the FA Cup has lost its magic.
It's an argument, James.
It's part of the reason, without a shadow of a doubt, James.
Mm. I remember the Bob Mortimer and Chris Rea song Let's Dance for the Middlesbrough FA Cup final.
That sounds abysmal. I can't remember it.
I mean, Bob Mortimer looked like shit. And so did Chris Rea. Chris Rea looked even worse.
Yeah, I've seen Chris Rea once in real life, and he's tiny, and he looks like a homeless man. He's got a really unkempt beard and stuff.
I once saw Bob Mortimer in a really, really fancy members bar with cans of lager in a carry bag underneath the
table.
Underneath the table, that's pouring them into glasses.
Didn't, you know when Jarvis Cocker ran on stage with Michael Jackson at the Brit Awards? Apparently Bob Mortimer defended him against it in some sort of court thing. Really weird. Because he used to be a barrister.
He's a good lad, Bob Mortimer. Chelsea won with Suggs.
That was the same final, I think.
Chelsea.
Going to make it a blue day?
Yeah.
Blue day.
They still sing that now.
Yeah, it was rubbish then. It's rubbish now.
It's the first sign of madness, that, isn't it? Suggs walking up your driveway. Hey, you having that one? Marcus, don't not laugh just because we're on the show. You would laugh normally if you're on the show.
Yeah.
Man United, what was the one they did?
They did that status quo one, didn't they? I'm really struggling to find a good one. To actually pick
one.
A favourite is very hard.
No one can move like a Red Tribe dude.
Oh, yeah.
No, like the Red Tribe dude. Not like a Red Tribe dude.
No, it was dude in my mind.
It's not like Bart Simpson.
In my mind, it was dude.
I remember, was that definitely an FA Cup one? Because there was one with Striker as well. Schmeichel, Parker, Palace.
Oh, that was FA Cup final.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was quite
sure
a famous one. Yeah, I mean, that was alright.
Come on, new Reds.
That was 93, 94.
Yeah, new Reds for 90 minutes.
It's
we go, Man United.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's never 90 minutes though with Alex Ferguson tapping his watch.
Oh, political.
I would like to be Alex Ferguson right now. Ooh,
yeah, he's getting old, isn't he?
I'd much rather be him than be Mike Ashley, Pete.
Well,
you having that?
That moves straight on to the relegation business. Oh, Peter.
We all joined up in a pub, didn't we? We all went to the pub.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
With some seasoned ramble listeners turned up, which
yeah. Yeah, they're all ramblers.
Aren't they lovely fellas? I can
only
hope
are.
The rest of you are that nice.
Mixed bag.
Mixed bag.
Yeah, mixed bag.
Yeah.
Me and Luke got a bit too drunk.
I didn't get home till 11:15.
Jim was already drunk when he turned
and
up.
And I had egg all over my trousers. I don't even eat eggs.
Yeah. And all over your face.
Yeah. But Pete, you took it in good grace. And I think it's fair to say at this point in time that Pete isn't a sort of typical up in the shirt off Newcastle fan.
He had his shirt on.
I don't think we had anything to shout about second half, to be fair.
Yeah, nothing to shout about all season, mate.
Well, I think the second half was just indicative of the general malaise that Newcastle United have been all season.
It was the most whimpering last day of the season.
Yeah, it really, really was.
No one got a point.
It's like pretty much every player on the pitch has decided, well, I'm not going to be here next season anyway, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Like one got one.
I don't
want to
get injured.
It was such a cruel way to go.
You got a feel for Damien Duff.
Yeah, Jesus. And Damon Duff, I think it's fair to say, has acquitted himself well. He has worked hard. He's been put out of position, and he's not been one of those sort of... I wouldn't say he's been a mercenary, do you know what I mean?
No.
I'm not saying he won't prove himself to be a mercenary.
No, but I mean,
you got
to sort of think that with... Well, Marcus was just saying that he's already pledged his future to...
Has he really?
Yeah, DJ came out to
who's
To Newcastle.
Oh, wow.
I pledged my future to Arsenal.
I pledged my future to the Premiership.
Yeah.
You know.
I'd like to make a motion for you lot to support or reject that next season the Premier League could be overwhelmingly poor, even poorer than this season, as the polarisation between the top sort of four or five teams. Because if you think about it, right, I may be proven wrong in time, but you've got the top three teams, and then Arsenal fourth probably again. And then after that, you've got a bank of sort of Everton, Man City, Villa, and Spurs.
Fulham.
That's your eight. Well, no, hang on a second. There's your eight, I would say, of next season. Then, apart from Fulham, who have overachieved this season with a good manager, every single other team in that division could be poor. Really poor.
Yeah. So best league in the world, though, Luke.
Well, is it
the price you pay for having those eight amazing teams?
Well,
where do you think Rangers and Celtic are going to finish there?
Think of the standard, though. You've got the three promoted teams who are obviously going to struggle straight away. You've got Hull, Stoke, Portsmouth, and Sunderland still in the league. That's seven really poor teams. No disrespect to any of them. I support one of those teams, so I'm not having a pop.
Remind us which one?
Portsmouth.
Oh, yeah.
So seven out of the 20 automatically are going to be poor next season. And what does that say about the league?
It says that the Premier League's upside down and the relegation running is going to be the focal point of the season.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
It's a big shame.
It's a shame that you're going to...
Fans, you're right.
A lot of fans are going to be paying Premier League prices for what is really not that good quality football.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of dross. You know, for Hull and Sunderland and Stoke to all stay up.
35 points.
I mean, feasibly, they could have all gone down. So, 35 it's points. Middlesbrough scored 28 goals. Unbelievable.
Well, did they get their 29th yesterday?
They might have done.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
If you can stay up in the top division in this country by not even getting a point a game.
Yeah.
Okay, so come on.
That's poor.
Yeah, come
that
on.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, looking at it like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. And like you say, Middlesbrough, I mean, they went down. They were terrible.
But I mean, we're kind of slagging it off, but I mean, Phil Brown was loving it.
What the hell? Oh, God.
It was one embarrassing.
One deflected goal.
Really,
and he's just singing.
Yeah. I thought they'd won the league.
They won two games since December.
Yeah. He couldn't get on it, could he?
Yeah. What was he singing?
Like, well, he sang We Were Staying Up, and then the other one, I think it was...
I Can't Help Falling In Love With You. I think it was just...
No, it was.
Better not have been.
Tom Jones with his little beard.
I think he was saying no one can move like a red tribe.
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
But he's just. I don't know how they're going to get on next season, but they need to sign a lot of players.
Well, it's like they'd had the sort of second season slump, like from December onwards.
Yeah. They got two seasons into one season.
Yeah.
But I mean,
season two halves.
But they could stay up again. I mean, because they stood up this season, could stay up for the next four or five seasons because you've always got the three promoted teams coming up.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Bullard's going to be delighted that they've stayed up. That very nearly looked like the worst move you could possibly have made.
Don't speak ill of the dead. No, he's still alive. Jimmy Bullard's not dead. No.
No, absolutely. Bloody not.
Allegedly. We don't know for sure.
Pete, do you think Alan Shearer's going to stay?
I think he's sort of making those sort of noises. It's funny. Like, what does he want out of his career? You know what I mean? He'd have three more years on the Match of the Day couch.
Do you know what I hated? I mean, Lineker said on Match of the Day, after the match, he sort of said, well, and it was only a number of weeks ago where he was sat on the couch there. I was like, he's not dead, Gary. What am I going on about it?
I think you have got to be fair to him and say that he's not had a chance to sign any players. I'm not saying he'd be a genius in the transfer market.
No.
Anything like that, but his record as Newcastle United manager. I mean, I know it's difficult for him.
He
could hardly have got worse.
You can't judge his managerial.
But
he could hardly have done any worse, could he?
I think Ashley was counting on was that Newcastle would get that lift that teams generally do, and they get a new manager. That's statistically
happen,
true as well. And yeah, and it just never materialised.
I mean, the first match. I mean, why take charge before a Liverpool match? You know you're going to get beaten. So
why that rationale?
Just wait. Take charge. That's the attitude.
Just wait a week. That's what I said. I just think that it was a team that had forgotten how to win matches, forgotten to put any top performances together, forgotten how to run a midfield, and we just have to go down. I don't think we were the worst. I don't think we were the third worst team in the league. To be fair, I think Sunderland were worse than us. I think the whole second half of the season was just awful.
It was much of a matchless. It could be any one of them. I think you're just probably a bit unlucky. But I think Newcastle on paper. I mean, on paper, do they deserve to be there? I don't know. I mean, the players you look at, they've got. But I mean, those players haven't proven themselves to be anything other than poor for a whole year.
This is the trouble. You know, we talk about the big money in football, where players, you can just see they don't really have the love for the game anymore. Yeah. But they think to themselves, yeah, but I'm getting a load of money. I might as well hang around in the game for another few years and stuff. You know, and unfortunately, I think that's something about the
body language of Mark Viduka screams that. Yeah, I don't know what, because people always make this assumption about him, and I don't. You know, it's not like he talks about that in interviews, and I don't know where it comes
it's just
from.
But
it's
actually on the pitch, like Berbatov, isn't it? A bit
like absolutely.
That as well. Not that he's as good as Berbatov. Sure.
But I mean, what is it, like 4th or 5th in the wage league tables or something? We are. God. That's going
to
be hard.
Yeah, there's a piece in the Observer this week saying that Newcastle, to all intents and purposes, if you take the football out of it, run themselves as like a Champions League club.
They
don't get anywhere near the Champions League. Mm. I mean, what you got to look at, I mean, I think we should. It's only fair we point it out that in 3 seasons, Bobby Robson finished 5th, 3rd, and 4th in 3 seasons and got sacked.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's it was right. That whole.
I think by the time I think he was kind of running himself into the ground.
He was 72, wasn't he? When he
I just think he wasn't.
They could have had it
when he started.
Of course, it should have.
They could have got the right man in, for example.
They probably were a bit hasty getting rid of Allardyce. I know he didn't have a best start, but I mean, they'd still be up if Allardyce was in charge. And you said, Luke, when he took over at Blackburn, you said, for all his faults and for all his ugly football and his ugly face,
yeah, I hate Allardyce.
He'll keep him up.
But he will, yeah.
And he kept them up quite comfortably in the end.
We always knew that was going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't pay. I mean, I know you're going to talk about some Blackburn season ticket prices a bit later on, but I mean, I wouldn't pay a penny to watch a Sam Allardyce side. No chance. I wouldn't. I promise you, because I don't like the way I play football.
Which is why I've never got the England job.
I don't think that's what it's all about. But I mean, he lumps the ball up to sort of centre halves all for the second half of the season, but he gets enough points to stay up. And these days, unfortunately, that's the name of the game.
Well, Tony Pulis would agree with
you. There's nothing else you can do, is there?
For the sort of money trying to keep Kevin Keegan happy, why would you rather keep Dennis Wise happy than get rid of Kevin Keegan? Watch him walk out the door.
Yeah.
Fucking shitstorm. Yeah. Excuse my language.
Yeah, it's true though.
Huge, deranged attitude.
I don't think
Kevin Keegan's a fantastic manager, but I don't think he would have gotten relegated.
I think Keegan didn't seem to be ever given a proper chance, did he? And it's like, why bring him back if you're just going to... It's basically a big PR stunt that they hadn't thought through. It's like, he's in charge now. Shit.
Yeah. It didn't go... obviously, none of us know what went on behind the scenes, but I mean, it must have been pretty serious for him to leave.
Yeah.
So I think it was to do with...
It's unlike Kevin Keegan to walk at the first sign of trouble, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. it's just all been a bit of a circus.
And I think Newcastle have suffered from just a lot of the off-pitch stuff as well. Don't forget the effect Joey Barton probably has on the fucking morale of that squad.
Where's he going to go?
Well, nowhere. He'll stay. £60,000 a week. Cheers. Yeah. Where would he go?
Well, I'm sure. Surely they'll want to get him off the wage.
He can't finish a game without getting sent off. Yeah. What difference does it make if he plays or not? It doesn't make any fucking difference. Just sit around, train all week, do a Winston Boharder, and just go home at the weekend.
But I know that. We all know that. But you know, this is Newcastle we're talking about.
But people sort of say, well, we're going to have to get rid of a lot of people off the wage bill. After that season's performance, who would sign any of them?
I can see people. Allardyce will sign Barton, I expect.
Michael Owen has been relegated. It's just incredible. I think I could see him probably ending up at City, maybe.
He's not going to go anywhere apart from City unless he takes a massive wage cut. As simple as that. But I do feel for Newcastle, obviously. And I think hopefully it'll be a case of taking a step backwards to be able to take a few steps forward long term.
Yeah.
But in a way, this will force their hand. It will force them to make decisions. It will force them to do things. And Mike Ashley will have to make a decision whether he wants to stay at the club or not. Mm. And if he does, he'll have to go about it properly.
Who's going to buy that club?
Well, they were up for sale for such a long time, weren't they? But
yeah, he's not going. Well, who's well?
He's known for making terrible financial decisions and terrible. I don't know how he made
terrible
his money,
fashion
but it
decisions.
Seems to be. Mm. And also, if I was in the Championship now and I was an established Championship club, I'd be a little bit annoyed because it will be a case of the circus coming to town to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And sort of, what's Newcastle up to this week? It's like the David Beckham in the MLS. I just think it's. I'm not saying that we're the Billy Big Balls around here, but I'm just saying that it's going to be a little bit galling I mean, I think it's the BBC's taking the race for the Championship next year, aren't they?
Okay. Really? So, yeah. No, that's great.
So I don't know. I don't know what sort of coverage that's going to take.
Well, a bit like Beckham in the MLS, perhaps Newcastle will raise the profile of the Championship. Yeah. There's no circus at Fulham.
No.
No.
What a magnificent
There's a
season.
Cottage.
There is a
There actually is a cottage on the ground. It's brilliant.
But Roy Hodgson has done a fantastic job.
Absolutely love
him. I think that they need to be careful next year, though, because in the UEFA Cup or whatever it's called now, they're going to be...
But with Hodgson, he's no fool.
No.
But they'll be overstretched. You know, he said that we don't have the squads... of the top four, you know, so we're just going to enjoy it, really.
They really need to hang on to Hangerland as well. Yeah. They're really important.
I think now they qualify for Europe, they may well do, but yeah. The problem with them is that obviously they're not packing in 45,000 every week, so no. They may not be able to increase their wage bill to such an extent that they can cope with all the competitions they've got to be
in. The Europa League's going to be absurd. I mean, to get to the final is 19 games. That's half a season.
Bloody hell.
That's just absurd.
I think in this season's UEFA Cup, and it's going to get worse next season, but I think this season's UEFA Cup is 137 games in the UEFA Cup this season.
Bloody Nora.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, the amount of teams, once the teams go out after the group stages, which it's two from groups of five, then all the Champions League rejects go in. So I think the group stages lose about 12 teams in all.
The Champions League...
Just madness.
The teams that don't qualify in the earlier rounds of the Champions League shouldn't go into that.
No,
but is the reason why the place only matters is just trying to recoup as much money as possible.
Yeah, in the words of the UEFA, cha-ching.
Yeah. Apparently clubs lose money, though, participating in it. It's that sort of poorly attended.
I think Roy Hodgson's would have fun in Europe, though. He's a European cultured manager.
Yeah. I was saying this to one of our good listeners, David, at the pub the other day when we were there watching the football. That we were supposed to say, how has Roy Hodgson never managed England?
He was in the shortlist, wasn't he, before McLaren?
Yeah, but when McLaren got in, it was really actually Allardyce and McLaren, and to a lesser extent, like sort of Kirbysley.
Wasn't Hodgson on that list as well?
No.
Oh, I thought he was.
He was a kind of a very much an outsider.
Where was Hodgson at the time, though? You forget he's managed Inter, you know?
He's managed lots of different
players. Assuming that the state of English managers is the same when Capello leaves, I'd like to see Hodgson.
Well, didn't Hodgson, before he took the Fulham job, wasn't he offered a job as a director of football at Inter?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think he might have been.
Loved there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, he's done a fantastic job. They've overachieved, and you can't ask for any more than
that. But he's also heralded in Scandinavia, in Norway in particular, for really helping the Norwegian game progress. Mm. You know, yeah, magnificent man. So let's keep it with English managers. Mm-hmm. One perhaps with not the same reputation, Harry Redknapp. He's been told that he's going to have to sell players to buy players. Obviously, there's not much of a budget there.
Do you think that'll put an end to sort of nonsense speculation about players like David Villa moving to Spurs?
No, how much will that piss Redknapp off?
Apparently the reason David Bentley's not made an appearance for the last sort of few weeks is because if he makes one more appearance, Tottenham have to pay Blackburn another sum of money in the instalments, and that's going to come out of Redknapp's transfer budget for the summer, so he doesn't want to play him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that really?
That's true.
Yeah.
I believe that the final fee was what, 15 million, but I don't think Tottenham have paid anywhere near that. I think they pay 5 or 6 so far. So
a lot of deals are staggered like that, aren't they? But still, it's a strange way to do it. Because I mean, surely if you've bought him in the intention that he's going to be good, he's going to hit that amount of appearances.
But Redknapp's not bought that many. Him, has he?
Even so, it's a strange way to write up a contract.
I think it is, but I think that's because that's the way it works. Isn't it? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Bentley left in the summer.
No. Yeah, I think he'll leave. I don't know, no idea too, but... Arsenal, maybe?
Redknapp will fondly remember that.
That's right.
Don't be surprised if Redknapp is talking about Son and Owen.
Yeah, no, that'll probably be a saga.
And whatever
saga do you think it'll be?
Oh, yeah, no, Beckham, yeah, maybe. Anyone!
Do you think Tevez to Liverpool will drag on and on and on?
Yeah, that's got to be sorted out one way or the other. Yeah.
I don't think he'll go to Liverpool. Never in a million years, surely.
Why not? Mascherano's there.
I just honestly believe he wants to be playing for Manchester United.
He wants to be playing, though, doesn't he?
They were loving it. They were just all fans chanting Argentina and all this kind of stuff.
Tevez is a very likeable player.
He really is.
You'd never get Argentinian fans shouting England. No. You know?
But you never get an English international going to Argentina. So
because it's abroad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and not the Premiership, that's right.
I think English footballers think that those sort of nations are just a group of players who just come and play. They don't exist outside of football. You know?
Yeah. Well, if we're going to go to South America, let's go there properly.
Okay.
The Copa Libertadores.
See you in a bit.
Quarterfinals. You've got some of the big boys there, like some of the Brazilian sides, Grêmio, Sao Paulo.
Boca are out, aren't they?
Boca are out. Grêmio, Sao Paulo, Cruzeiro, Palmeiras, Estudiantes from Argentina. Only Argentinian side left in it. Two Uruguayan sides, Nacional and Defensor. Good
Defensor
name.
Defensor knocked out Boca, didn't they?
I believe so. But the big surprise is Caracas FC of Venezuela in the quarterfinals for the first time.
Haven't all the Mexican sides pulled out because of swine flu?
There is something.
They've boycotted it as a result of the South American Football Association's reaction to swine flu, saying that no team would go to Mexico and fulfill their fixtures. And they had to play over one leg in the other countries. Yeah. So Mexico said, we're not having that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that...
Well, I think it was a case of that they decided, didn't they, have a neutral venue, which was, I think, Colombia, maybe, because it was...
But yeah, but Colombia didn't agree to it.
Yeah, well, Colombia were like, hang on a minute. Yeah, yeah. We don't want these people turning up. They're going to be, you know, we don't want that.
So it's a shame. But, Boca went out. I mean, I think Riquelme was sort of off form, which is, you know, the enigmatic Riquelme again.
But our good friend Rupert from southamericanfootball.co.uk, which is a really good website, actually, for all your South American football news, he was saying just the Copa Libertadores is such a brilliant tournament.
That it's always won by different teams.
Exactly.
Every year. Yeah. You never get the same sort of teams in the last
Was it last year? LDU Quito won it. You know,
Ecuadorian side. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, just incredible. Yeah, great tournament. The European equivalent of the Copa Libertadores is called the UEFA Champions League.
The Champions
League!
A big match that happens once a year. James or Jim and I are bloody going.
We're only bloody going.
In fact, by the time you hear this, James or Jim and I have gone.
Yeah, we've been there.
We've come back.
It was fantastic. We've been stabbed in the arse by Roma fans.
Me and Pete have got to hold the fort, haven't we, Pete?
Yeah, we've got to.
We appreciate that.
We've got to clean the floors.
Yeah.
With Ramble HQ.
well James's,
curtains up.
James's better half sorted it out, and she said, you know, who are the best looking two?
Yeah.
We've got to send them out.
Keep them at home. that's what she said.
So she said, keep them at home so I can have my way with them.
Yeah.
Send the other two up. No, I'm going to a wedding so I can make it. No, you guys are having a cracking time.
Yeah.
Take your boots.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well,
like
I say, by the time this has come out, we've had a cracking time.
Yeah, it's true.
We've taken our boots.
It's all a bit bad.
Who would have thought that I would have been invited to take the winning penalty?
Yeah.
And miss.
Yeah. So, that's a big thank you to Victoria Anscombe for sorting that out.
Thanks. Well done for that.
Thanks for sorting them out. Me and Pete are going to stage our own Champions League final down the park, aren't we, Pete?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Pete and I.
But I'm going to make it so that I win.
You're going to have to tell Pete that.
No, I just decided.
Okay.
Well, we've seen you play.
Yeah.
It's a potentially amazing final.
It was really an amazing final. It was superb, listeners.
No, I think it's a final that should have been the final. Yeah. The two best teams in Europe, without a doubt, probably the world. So it's awesome.
I just hope it lived up to it.
James and I will be telling you about our experiences of that
next time.
All through the ramblers, because the TV cameras only give you so much.
You should take a dictaphone and record what you're doing and stuff.
I'm going to draw it. And I'm going to bring a flick book, and then we'll do a video podcast of it. You'll get so much more insight than you normally would if you just watched it with your eyes.
Bloody love that, me.
Eric Cantona has come out and said that he wants to be Manchester United manager one day.
Again.
Well, he said, this is a direct quote from the big man. He said, I will guide probably the strongest team in the world. I don't know when it'll happen, but on the Manchester United bench, my name is already written. He continued to say, for me, the only alternative to Manchester United is guiding the England team. I can assure you that sooner or later you will see me guiding England because I have history at Manchester United and I am number one.
He's just got this entire other reality in his head, isn't it? It's great.
It's brilliant.
No, I think that's fair enough.
Would you be up for him, England manager?
No.
No, God Christ, no.
It'd be mental. It'd be like Maradona managing Argentina but times a billion.
Yeah, it would.
We're not even English.
I love the way he thinks of himself as like an honorary Englishman, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He loves it.
Yeah, because the English took to him, and I don't think the French ever really did. And he got obviously got.
Do you remember what I was telling you that time when he was on a French football program on the TV in France, obviously, and he was arguing with these journalists about, I think it was something to do with his career, and oh no, they were slagging off English journalists. That's right, these French guys, and he said, yes, but in England at least they recognised my genius. And the French guys and he was arguing them, and he basically went, just get out of the studio, and he wouldn't carry on the programme until these journalists left. And they left.
It was in that film, wasn't it? I think it's called something like The Overeater, where he wore a hilarious Eddie Murphy style fat suit.
Is there another Ken Loach film coming out at the moment? Can't at the moment.
Finding Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go and see that.
I love a bit of Eric.
We had an email actually from someone saying, why don't you do a Cantona profile? We've already done it actually.
Yeah, so
we've already done Cantona, so sorry about that.
But we try and make the old shows as difficult as possible to get hold of. You won't want to hear it.
They'll be released in 50 years' time.
Yeah.
There are other leagues that exist outside the Premiership. The Bundesliga is one of them, and Wolfsburg have won it for the first time in their history.
Yeah, well done to them.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Well done to them. They had a great result at the last of the season as well, didn't they?
5-1.
Against
Werder Bremen. Hammered them. Yeah. They're no, like, minnows either.
No, no.
It was a real tight finish.
It was.
In Germany. And Bremen, of course, UEFA Cup finalists.
Yeah.
against Shakhtar.
They missed that as well, didn't they?
It's quite odd. Felix Magath, I think that's pronounced.
Yeah, he's a coach, yeah.
Yeah, he's leaving Wolfsburg for Schalke. I don't know whether that was already pre...
Must have been, yeah.
It seems an odd one, Armin Vey's taking over. But he'll either be gutted that he's leaving, it was already pre-arranged, or it just seems like a funny one.
Isn't Sammy Hippier off to Hamburg?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I think it's Hamburg, yeah. I thought Benitez was a bit harsh, not even starting him for the last unnecessary game of the season.
No, but I think he wanted
Spurs.
To get a standing ovation, didn't he?
Well, he could have taken him off for 15 minutes left. He nearly scored as well.
Yeah, he did, the off the line, wasn't he? Yeah. You see the crowd as well with their big Sammy thing.
Yeah, they're loving him there. Absolutely loving him there. Rangers also won the SPL.
Yeah, well done to them. And Strachan's gone.
That's really strange, isn't it? What are the reasons behind it? Does anyone know?
At time of recording, it's just said more news to follow, so I'm not sure. But he's been there 4 seasons, hasn't he, now? So.
One thing I'd say about Rangers was I thought they did quite well to fine Lafferty for being such a play-acting so-and-so.
Lafferty's got a checkered past as being a bit of a prick anyway, really, you know what I'm saying?
He looks like one as well. But no, Rangers didn't have to do that.
No, that's a step in the right direction. I think that's an example hopefully others will follow.
Yeah.
But that was a bit of a... It was a disgrace.
He got the other disgrace.
But the thing is, if it was like the World Cup final and it was an Englishman who did that, to get like a German sent off or whatever, what would you think about it?
I'd be ashamed.
Yeah, I think
I really would be, yeah. Whereas in some countries, like in Spain and Argentina...
They celebrate it.
They think that's clever play.
Yeah.
They do.
That's part of their culture, yeah, I know.
I said, when I was in Argentina, I said, what would you do if your man dived in the last minute of the World Cup final? They said, that's even better than a normal goal. Come on.
That's classic.
Well, no, it really just is seen as part of the game, isn't it? The sort of bending the rules with your own sort of deception.
Breaking the rules.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's got to be just a different culture, isn't it? I mean, it's not something that we...
Maradona loved it with the handball against England.
Oh, yeah, he still does love it.
He said something like, I felt like I'd pickpocketed the English.
Yeah, he still does love it. In his book, he's always loving it.
He does. He's unashamedly proud of it.
Yeah.
That couldn't have gone better for him, scoring possibly the greatest goal of all time and a handball.
Yeah.
That was a great afternoon.
That is the two sides of Diego Maradona right there. One of the weirder things that happened at the end of the season was Paolo Maldini's send off. Did you see about that?
Yeah, they lost at home to Roma 3-2.
Yeah, but I mean, he was getting loads of abuse from the fans.
Not all of them.
It wasn't a huge amount, but they still had banners.
A few of the ultras.
That is disgraceful.
Yeah, I've got some of the banners said here, right? One of them reads, "Thanks, Captain. On the pitch, you were an undying champion, but you had no respect for those who made you rich."
Yeah.
And this is apparently because Maldini was never one for sort of like just brown nosing with the ultras and things like that and just sort of getting in among the fans. And like, he'd criticise them if they were criticising the team, because obviously that doesn't help the team. And there's another one that said, "For your 25 years of glorious service, you have the thanks of those who you called mercenaries and misers."
Was he? Yeah.
Harsh, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And another
he's
one.
He's been at that club his whole career.
Yeah, I know. And there's another one.
Giggs wouldn't get that.
With a big number 6 on it that said, "There is only one captain, Baresi."
Come on. Yeah, but that was Baresi holding it, though.
I imagine it was. And Maldini said on it, because he was hounded by like, the journalists outside the ground, obviously in his last game, and he said he's still hounding himself with dignity because he said, "Oh, I'm proud because I'm a man, not like them."
Yeah, absolutely.
He just oozes class, pal.
He does. He's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame already, so that'll more. Right,
and he's the captain of the club.
Have you just made that decision, have you?
Yeah, on the basis of that story.
That'll be Brian Clough's decision.
Brian Clough will make that decision.
Yeah. And Barry Davis will comment on it.
Yeah. Ted John! Emails!
Your best one so far.
Oh, thanks very much.
He's topping it every week.
Oh, you're too kind.
Great trumpet playing by Pete there.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Live in the studio as well. he flicked his synthesizer to trumpet. Didn't you, Pete?
What?
Didn't you? Exactly, see?
Ringing in his ears. You'll figure it out in due course. Word up, chaps. Love your work with the podcast. Very kind. Just wanted to ask Luke if he has had any luck with cancelling his subscription to Satanta. This is an ongoing thing, a number of episodes back.
Not really, because every time I go to cancel it now, they tempt me in with something that I really want to see. The recent one is like, one coming up is that David Haye boxing match. So I really want to see that, so I'm not going to cancel. So I'll cancel it after that, and then something else will come along. So.
Okay. Well, Martin tried to cancel his subscription, and he phoned him up and said he wanted to cancel, and the guy on the other end of the phone said, "Okay, sir, is it a cost issue you have with Satanta?" And Martin replied, "No, I have an issue with the generally poor signal and unbelievably bad pundits, and I'd rather go to my local pub and watch the game there and not have to go through the inane chit-chat that is served up by Steve McManaman, Les Ferdinand, Tim effing Sherwood, and the rest of those
morons." Leave Al Macker out of that.
Leave the King, El King, or... Les Ferdinand. Sir Les.
Sir Les, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Leave Sir Les out of this.
Well, okay, so, and the rest of the morons. So the guy on the other end, in a soft, caring voice of the phone, other end of the phone, said, "Well, thank you for your feedback, sir. Is there any pundits you would like to suggest, maybe for next season's coverage?" And he said, well...
Marcus Speller?
Well...
Did he say Marcus Speller?
Martin said, "James Richardson in the studio with Jimmy Bullard and producer Pete from the Football Round."
He's clearly a little bit deranged.
He said, "Can I recommend commentators Barry Davis and Rod Stewart?" Don't quite get that, but his response...
Well, how did this email not get the mental illness part?
Get on like that.
The guy on the other end of the phone said, "I personally would substitute Rod Stewart for Graham Taylor. However, that sounds like a truly great lineup of guests, sir. I can assure you that I will pass these details on to the relevant department." Pete, you might get a call with him.
Well, not if he's saying Rod Stewart. He's let everyone down there. I could have been right in there.
Yeah, but the response on the other end said it's a great lineup. He never said, "Hang on a minute, who's Pete Donaldson?"
He knows.
He went, yeah. Standard, he said, standard.
Yeah. I was going to suggest it myself, he said.
And to finish the email, he said, he then told me what I needed to do to cancel my subscription.
"You must travel to the lands of Alancia and slay the dragon."
One time I rung to town to the council and they said, "All of our operators are out for a fire drill." I mean, they'll go to any lengths necessary.
That is unbelievable. Yeah. So Martin said, "Quite possibly one of the greatest awkward conversations I've ever had." Yeah. Peace and love, Martin. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Thanks, Martin, yeah.
But what I love is the fact that...
Did they explain how to cancel it? It sounds like they got lost along the way
again. They sidetrack you, so you just hang up. Yeah. You think you're done, and then you're not.
What I love is the fact that they're taking the comments on board from subscriptions who are wanting to cancel.
But it's unprecedented, Marcus. You don't get that with Sky.
No, you're flipping, don't
you? You've got that silly puppet show that they put on sometimes. Oh, with
Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho and Wayne Rooney and Sven.
Yeah.
Why did they make a Sven doll?
What? It's like 5 years out of date.
What was that? What was that?
They do. They sometimes have a...
It's called You're on Satanta, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like a little comedy show where they do little skits. It's just witless. It's pathetic.
Yeah. I've got one here from Matthew in Perth. He picked out... last week I talked about if you stood Norway up on its most southern point and it dropped it southward.
Morocco.
You'd upset a lot of people.
Yeah. That'd be death.
I couldn't remember where I heard that, but Matthew in Perth has said it was a story Billy Connolly told about a very eccentric chap he met once. So thank you for that, Martin. Matthew, sorry. Got his name wrong.
Yeah, brilliant. It's not like it's written in front of you or anything, is it?
Thank you for that, Matthew. do the honours there, James, in the edit.
No.
he said he's been trying to get his mates into football. He said, "But myself, I'm a bit big to play." He's 135 kilograms, national shot put champion. He's put.
What, of Australia?
Well, so one.
Oh yeah, Pete's asked me to ask you if you want to fight him. Pete said he could take you on easy.
Well, I win in one email, taking it away.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, thank you for that, Matthew. Next one, dear Lukey.
Hello.
That's
Oh, this is what I ripped myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a small but passionate St. Pauli following amongst Portsmouth fans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We obviously
did
St. Pauli on last time's profile. Reasons why St. Pauli should be your second team after Pompey. You ready?
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm a willing listener.
The Millantor has three sides of terracing. That's the stadium they play in. The Reaper Barn is a great venue for shanting before and after the game.
Shanting?
There's
a Pompey phrase.
Yeah.
Who's drinking?
Reduced admission for the unemployed.
Yeah.
A crash...
Actually, have a lot of Pompey fucking
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, he's assuming a lot about you, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it gets better.
It's like he knows me.
And it gets better. A crash for fans to leave their children.
Yeah.
Big, big flags. Ticker tape. Singing stroke chants in both German and English.
Oh, good. That helped me out because I don't speak any German, so again, brilliant.
Yeah, left wingers, outcasts, punks, dock workers, the homeless, transvestites all welcome. Once again,
I'm all of them, so yeah.
Bratwurst, beer, and fish rolls available in the ground. Passionate fans, all night.
Fish rolls?
Yeah.
Odd.
It's on the coast. All night boozing and bands in the fish market. No Scummers or John Portsmouth Football Club Westwood.
Well, that's a bonus. That's a bonus, no mistake.
So, are you in there?
I'm happy to have them as one of my teams anyway.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I appreciate that. This guy's Pompey fan, is he?
He said, but could you also give a mention to the People's Republic of China Portsmouth Supporters Club, Hong Kong branch, where I now live, please?
You just have.
Well, I think so. There are have two members, Emperor Thomas Young, and myself, Nick Shrimpton. There is also another Pompey fan, comrade Michael Lee in Shanghai. So 1.3 billion people and three Pompey fans. Yeah. We are not taking over the Middle Kingdom. That is from Nick. And that's a great... And he put some nice pictures in there as well.
Yeah. Proving. You can't see him, though. You can't see him.
No, not on the podcast.
No.
Next email. Howdy, Ramblers. I'm writing on behalf of one of the Premier League's most unfashionable teams, Blackburn Rovers. He'd like to point out that it's the first club that have slashed season ticket prices from an already reasonable £299 down to an astonishing £199 and £65 for juniors. £65 for juniors?
That's fantastic, isn't it?
That is incredible. Yeah. As you said, it's a wonderful gesture. That's just over £10 a game for adults. And it's had no media coverage.
They have got to watch Sam Allardyce's fucking brand, though.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon the chairman sat Sam Allardyce down and said, look, you know, I've been doing the sums, and we can't ask for more than £20 a game for this football. We really can't. I mean, we're taking the piss, really.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting three passes together.
He's also said he'd like to give a lot of praise to Tugai.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I think he deserves it.
I think we're all a fan of Tugai on that round.
Tugai looks a lot like Richard Lewis from Curb Your Enthusiasm,
which I enjoy
about his face.
He said he's a fabulous technical player, scored some great goals, been a joy to watch. An ugly man who plays really beautiful football. Is he that ugly?
He's strange looking.
Dyed his hair blonde recently,
yeah,
isn't
he? Do I see the hair more than the face?
He's one of those players who looks like he's got so much time on the ball whenever he plays. Mm. And even though he plays against some top quality opposition sometimes, and he's 38 or 39 years old, he's still a completely different class.
And he scored some great goals.
Yeah, he really, really knows how to...
He can ping one.
Ping long range, isn't he? Yeah.
And also, the last point of this email is that he's talking about Burnley, obviously been promoted to the Premiership. Richard Keys had never heard of Burnley before.
No.
He said that he'd like to point out the rivalry between Blackburn Rovers and Burnley is very underestimated, much like the Pompey and Southampton rivalry. Yeah. He said it's pure hatred. He said,
wasn't there a Burnley or Blackburn player who paid for like a plane to do one of those adverts over the stadium, so Burnley always being Blackburn's shadow or something like that?
That happened. I forget who it was. Yeah, it was someone quite obscure.
That's a shame I can't remember.
Robbie Savage?
No.
And he said that even in 2000, Rovers beat Burnley at Turf Moor in Burnley, and he said the Burnley fans decided to trash their own town. Silly people.
Caused £20 worth of damage.
No.
Okay.
But that's from Michael Pearson, so thank you very much for that, Michael.
Oh, funny stories!
Lovely.
Oh, it's time for James or Jim.
Mm. The first thing actually got sent by you, Pete, which it's Stan Collingwell's regular Mirror column, but apparently this is what was actually sent to the sub-editor. This is incredible. I'm just going to read this out.
I'm still reeling from the intro there.
Well, this is what he asked the sub-editor to sort out for him, basically.
Supposedly,
and
it
seems like he'd ignored it and just printed it ad hoc. Ad hoc? Not ad hoc. What is it?
Add-on.
Ad verbatim.
It says, Newcastle do lack quality, but their squad are battling for Shearer, except Joey Barton, who they are good those Thursday's memorial, the match at Marina Dalglish, a massive crowd I wasn't invited. And I'm available winner at the better off without. Don't seem to have much about them, however. As much as I respect their Southgate trying to football, don't see many players in who really want to play for the club. I think there are a lot of players at the Riverside who look as though they know that they will get gigs elsewhere if Borough go down. To in-game is further and hopefully turn out. Have my boots at last-minute end. To sub, make this make sense, please. Stan, kiss. That is superb.
No, that bit at the end I wrote...
Oh, right.
That wasn't Stan. No, I reckon it was maybe Stan over the phone sort of doing it, and the man was writing it down.
Yeah, just completely hammered.
No, but I imagine the fellow was just writing it down shorthand and then forgot how to longhand it. Mm. Forgot what he meant by whatever it was.
I respect Southgate trying to football.
I think it's the innermost ramblings of Stan Collymore's mind.
Yeah. All was missing was car park, good time, love it.
Ooh,
tonight.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
A listener of The Ramble, Matthew Wilson, good friend of ours, was outside McDonald's on Leicester Square once, and a limo was outside, and the window went down, and it was Stan Collymore. And he went, "Oi, mate, where can I get a burger from round here?" And he was just like, "Well, there," and pointed to McDonald's. And Stan then produced a Big Mac, took a bite out of it, and went, "Cheers," and the limo drove off.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
He was just like, "What?
Really strange."
He's a maniac.
Yeah, he is.
Cheers.
Allegedly.
He's actually quite good on the radio.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you, doesn't it?
Strange.
He was a good player as well.
Yeah, he was.
Right, this next one. This is from the BBC, and this is brilliant. Rangers defender Kirk Broadfoot was taken to hospital after an egg he was microwaving exploded in his face. A 25-year-old Scotland international was poaching the egg at his home near Mochlein, Ayrshire. Is that how you say it? Doesn't matter. When the accident happened, it is understood hot liquid squirted onto his face and scalded his cheek when he opened the microwave door. The footballer was treated in hospital before being allowed to go home following the incident on Sunday.
How bad was it? It actually put him out of a game.
Apparently, Broadfoot had already been ruled out for the rest of the season because of other injuries anyway, so we'll never know.
There's an obvious pun, and I'm going to say it.
Go on.
Egg on his face.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He must have microwaved. Fuck off.
Let's hope in the transfer window another club doesn't try and poach him.
Jesus.
You're having that one, pal.
Good. High five.
I'm going to move to South America, though, now.
Oh, yeah, good.
Because we always enjoy this.
About that time, isn't it?
Yeah. Vittorio's Adriano. It's not the other one. Not the big, you know, big fat...
Not the emperor.
Yeah, not the emperor.
Not the emperor.
Vittorio's Adriano says he's distressed after nearly mounting his roommate, mistaking him for his wife. The player was married last weekend and then flew to Curitiba. Is that it?
Yeah, Curitiba, that's in Brazil, yeah.
Curitiba.
Yeah.
For a match against Atletico Paranense before going on to Rio for another one against Vasco. Adriano's roommate said, "I'm keeping away from the big man. He is amorous, but seriously, I want no man shenanigans."
It's a simple demand.
Yeah.
Which should be adhered.
It's the least he expects.
that was the name of the boy band I was in.
What, man shenanigans?
Yeah.
Shenanigans.
Were you in a boy band, or are you just talking
Marcus.
Nonsense? Sorry. What is the kind of thing I'd expect you to come out of?
Yeah.
Man shenanigans. Who would call their boy band man shenanigans?
You.
I would.
Yeah. Shenanigans, I'd call them.
You were in a band called One-Eyed Willy. You know.
Damn straight.
Right, this is from a Spurs message board, actually. This has been forwarded on. Rangers, obviously, were at Dundee, where they looked likely to win the SPL this week.
And they did.
And indeed did.
Bloody.
Dundee could only give Rangers 5,000 tickets, and they were sold out pretty much instantly. So that led to, like, obviously a lot of disappointed, burly, drunk Scottish men. So a new poster signed up on a Rangers forum and made a few nondescript posts, right? No one pays any real attention. Then he started a thread that said, "If you want tickets for next week's title decider away to Dundee United, read here. Since the away allocation for Rangers fans of 5,000 is long sold out, tickets for the home end is the only solution. But as we all know, if you're not on Dundee United's official club supporter database, then you won't even be able to buy tickets for the home end. Here's what to do. Phone up the club shop and ask to buy a pair of Dundee United kit socks.
Foolproof.
Don't even mention tickets for Sunday. They might become suspicious. Then when they take your sock order personal details and process your payment, your details will then be stored on their system. Give it a few hours until there's a shift change, phone up again and order your home tickets for the Rangers match. Because of your sock order, you will be on their system and you'll get your match tickets. It's perfect, lads." Turned out there was no such database, and all these Ranger fans have now got hundreds of pairs of Dundee United socks for no reason.
That's
brilliant. That is a great hoax.
I want to know how many socks they sold.
Yeah.
I hope it's thousands. I really genuinely hope
it
it's like thousands.
Great, wouldn't it?
It's enough for a big money transfer.
Yeah.
That sound can only mean one thing. It's profile time.
There's bats in the studio.
Oh, dear idea. The profile is Dennis Nicholas Maria Burkamp.
Maria!
I thought that would strike a chord with you. Born 10th of May 1969, just before the Summer of Love.
He's won the sperm race.
He has. Do you know he was named after the famous Manchester United player Dennis Law?
Oh, was he?
Spelled
differently then?
It is, yes. But in Dutch, if you spelt it with one N, it would be too near Denise.
Okay.
So they put the extra N in there to man beef it up. His family were Manchester United fans, but Dennis Burkamp always admired Glenn Hoddle of Spurs the most. Mm. He said that other players will tell you Pelé, Maradona or Cruyff are their idols, but I will say Glenn Hoddle. People often assume he's a Spurs fan because of that, but he's not. Burkamp was brought up through the Ajax famous youth system, and he joined the club at 12 years old. To begin with, though, they thought Burkamp was too lightweight and not physically strong enough for football, and he struggled a bit in the youth team, but after a few years, Johan Cruyff came along and he discovered Burkamp's talent and he took him away from the junior team and put him in the first team. And his first league game was in December 86. And he soon became a regular in the Ajax side. They won the Dutch League in 1990. They won the UEFA Cup in 92. Very respectable. They won the Dutch Cup in 93. And from 91 to 93, Burkamp was top scorer in the league. Because you often think of Burkamp, and you don't actually think he was the most prestigious of goal scorers.
No.
But in the early days, you know, top scorer in the Dutch League, as I say. And he was voted the Dutch Player of the Year in 92 and 93. And all in all, he scored 122 goals in 239 games for Ajax.
That's not too shabby at all.
For a guy who was more of a support striker, as we know him to be, you know, decent. in 1993, signed for Inter for £12 million.
Wasn't he Inter's greatest ever player?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He went with...
I'm not having a go at him because it's the profile. There's no place for that in the profile.
I was going to say...
Kanu and Robbie Keane are in his greatest players anyway.
Yeah, that's true, sorry.
That's very true. Yeah. But to put it in context, when he was signed for £12 million, he was the second most expensive player in the world at the time. Mm. Johan Cruyff was very surprised and actually disapproved of the move because Inter were a bit more defensive type of side. But Bergkamp wanted a challenge and he chose Inter over clubs like Milan and Barcelona, where there was more attacking. So it was a bit of a surprise he went there. He won the UEFA Cup, though, with Inter, which I think was his only honour there. But he stayed in Italy for two seasons, and as Cruyff predicted, he had a very difficult time there. They promised him a kind of a change of style, actually, when he arrived, but it didn't quite happen. And he didn't get on so well with his teammates. I think Ruben Sosa certainly treated him as a rival rather than a colleague. There was a little bit of animosity there, and he didn't have a great time with the Italian press either. But
Bruce Rioch rescued him.
Mm. Bruce Rioch did rescue him. So in 52 games, 52 appearances for Inter, he scored 11 goals. So not the best time. But Bruce Rioch, you're right, came along in June 95 and signed him for £7.5 million. Took him, I think people forget, it actually took a little while. Not too long, but it did take a little while for him to adapt to
the
Premiership.
Well, there was a big thing. It took him a while to score, didn't it?
It did take him a while.
Two in one game against Southampton, I believe.
Do you remember him signing for Arsenal, Jim?
Yeah. I was in Las Vegas when he signed for them.
What year was it?
95.
Was it that early? God.
Yeah. I mean, possibly one of the greatest players to have played in the Premiership.
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah.
He won the Premier League, he won the FA Cup. It was the double in 97-98. He was voted PFA Player of the Year. And this is in September 97, he became the first and so far only player to have come first, second and third in Match of the Day's Goal of the Month competition.
That's class.
And that was all from the same game, wasn't it?
It was the same game, the hat-trick against Leicester City.
Oh, I remember that hat-trick.
Glorious.
What a hat-trick that was.
Bergkamp was one of those sort of few players who genuinely could take your breath away. You know,
yeah.
For, international level and at club.
For me, my favourite Dennis Bergkamp goal is not from the Leicester game, but it's the, against Newcastle, actually.
Yeah, where they're sort of discussing whether he meant it or not.
Yeah, I think from his body language, it does certainly look like he meant it. Yeah.
The way he actually doesn't... Because if he didn't mean it, his eyes would have followed where the ball went.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He just goes, boom, does it, and turns round, and he's in his face... It looks as though it's expecting it to be.
Yeah. I thought it was Pires who said if you doubt that wasn't meant, then you don't know him well enough. You don't know what he's like. You know.
He won the double again in 2002 with Arsenal, and he won again the FA Cup in 2003 and the Premier League for a third time in 2004. He unfortunately never won a European trophy with Arsenal. He got to the UEFA Cup final in 2000 when they were beaten by Galatasaray on penalties, and of course he was an unused substitute in 2006 Champions League final against Barcelona. What was a nice touch by Arsenal was that on the 16th of April 2006, which was a home match against West Bromwich Albion, the Arsenal supporters dedicated the day to Dennis Bergkamp Day to commemorate his time at Arsenal.
He scored as well in that game.
He did score, and it was a lovely little one. Jamie Redknapp said. that was brilliant, and that was his last goal for Arsenal, which was a fitting way to score on the day dedicated to him in the last minute as well. He retired, as I said, after the Champions League final. So all in all, Bergkamp scored 120 goals in 424 appearances and set up 166 goals in his Arsenal career, which makes him the top assist maker in Premier League history.
That's outrageous.
Wow. That is a magnificent... And that really, really needs to be said, because, yes, we've said earlier, he wasn't the most prolific of scorers, but what he brought to the team is just unprecedented.
He seems to go like a season on, season off. I remember he'd get like 20, 25 one season, then he'd get 8 or 9 the next, but he was making loads the whole time. It was funny the way that worked out.
A wonderful player. Unplayable when he was on form. Yeah. Completely unplayable.
His first major tournament was Euro 92, where they lost on penalties to Denmark in the semi-final, and then of course they got to the quarter-final in 1994 in USA. But I'm sure we all remember the moment in 98 against Argentina in the quarter-final, which was intriguingly... The Dutch commentary was played at the end of the last show, wasn't it, Peter?
Yeah, I was surfing for something else. I was trying to find something else, and I found that.
Why not?
A lovely bit of work.
Just whack it in there.
And I was the goal where he sort of trying to bring it down at the end, he shinned it and sort of sliced it in.
I think it's yeah.
Not bad.
Frank de Boer just humped a ball up to him.
De Boer, and then it was Bergkamp.
Dishwicket.
That one. Yeah. He nutmegged Roberto Ayala on that goal. He caressed the ball down and just touched it through his legs.
That's class, isn't it?
It's like the greatest first touch I've ever seen. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
But that goal was so good, and it's rare that the commentary matched it.
Yeah.
With Barry Davis.
He was like...
You know, we've said... a while ago on the show, we talked about our favourite commentary moments, and mine was Barry Davis on that goal. Don't tell my Bergkamp! Davis couldn't believe his luck. Jonathan Pearce, incidentally, because obviously Argentina had eliminated England, he goes, Dennis Bergkamp has scored and surely put out Argentina, and good bloody riddance. non-biased. Yeah.
That's class. you gotta love that. That is funny.
And what was even better as well about that goal is he became the Dutch top scorer of all time, which was a record held by Fas Wilks with that goal.
Oh, Clark, that's so, awesome.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, after Euro 2000, when the Dutch reached the semi-finals, he knew he wouldn't be able to travel to Japan and Korea because of his fear of flying.
Which I think has been such a big hindrance on Arsenal in Europe.
Yeah,
he couldn't go to away games for a while, could he?
Would he drive? But obviously, like, he'd get there and be exhausted. Yeah, it's exactly. Just be mental.
If they were away in Turkey or something, that's not really an option, yeah.
That is mental, isn't it? How many other players, like, would not fly?
Mr.
T?
It's almost like the son tricked him into doing it just so they could call him the non-flying Dutchman.
Oh, no. Poor.
Should have hit the therapy or something like that.
Apparently his fear of flying developed after the Dutch squad were involved in an incident concerning their flight to the World Cup in 1994 to America. And they were with a group of journalists, and some of the journalists started making remarks about the long wait, wondering if there was a bomb on the plane and all this kind of stuff. And it just provoked a big panic amongst the passengers and in particular Bergkamp, apparently. I mean, it reminded Bergkamp of a plane crash which killed many Surinamese Dutch players when they flew to Suriname, and it all kind of just escalated. So I always thought it was actually something happened on board the plane, but it wasn't. It was it's a bit of an odd one.
It's an obvious failure,
isn't it? Sort of, I mean,
it's
accumulated.
Because
you
get a lot of people who are a little bit scared of flying, but I mean, wouldn't go to that length. And the fact that he's gone to that length, he's basically almost arguably could cost him European glory.
It would have made a difference.
But in May 2008, he began a fast-track coaching diploma, studying under Arsene Wenger in London, I think. But he's got a trainee role at Ajax.
Yeah.
Was it Huntelaar said?
He's a strikers coach at Ajax now, isn't he?
Didn't Huntelaar say something?
Well, Huntelaar didn't want to leave Ajax for that reason. He said he wanted to stay under, was it Van Basten and Bergkamp, which was the coaching sort of setup. But obviously, he did leave in the end. But yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure if Bergkamp is going to be an Ajax manager in the near future. I mean, possibly. Yeah. You know, he's spent a lot of time.
I think he's going about it the right way. Wasn't he managing the Dutch B side or assistant management?
Right. Yeah, he was
managing them as well. Yeah. Like, I think it's wise to get those sort of assistance roles under your belt and just.
Yeah, you know, totally.
I think it's fantastic when genuinely great players want to stay in the game. Yeah, I read something about Paul Scholes today saying he wants to stay in the game as well when he retires. So.
I've got a couple of quotes here. Arsene Wenger said, intelligence and class. Class is, of course, most of the time linked to what you can do with the ball, but the intelligence makes you use the technique in an effective way. It's like somebody who has a big vocabulary but doesn't say intelligent words, and someone who has a big vocabulary but doesn't talk intelligently. And that's what Dennis is all about. What he does, there's always a head and always a brain, and his technique allows him to do what he sees and what he decides to do. Thierry Henry and Ian Wright says, I mean, Ian Wright, you said he's the messiah. Which is...
Ian Wright does a lot of things.
Yeah, but Thierry Henry said he's... balanced opinion.
Thierry Henry said he's the best player that he's ever played with. No mind, he's played with Zidane and people like that, you know.
Yeah.
In April 2006, Simon Cooper in the Financial Times wrote, one night last year, some legends of Dutch football gathered for dinner in an Amsterdam house. Around midnight, conversation turned to an old question. Who was the best Dutch footballer ever? Dutchmen have been voted European Footballer of the Year 7 times, which is more than any nationality except for Germany. Jan Mulder, a great centre-forward turned writer, said, Bergkamp, he had the finest technique. Gus Hiddink, the great Dutch manager, nodded, and so the matter was settled. So,
there's Bergkamp.
In he comes.
In you come.
There's Bergkamp!
There's Bergkamp!
There's Bergkamp!
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this time. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have a website, which is thefootballramble.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble. We have a group on Facebook. We have Last FM. We're on Twitter. Yeah, Luke is all over Twitter.
Yeah, get involved in Twitter. It's been fun the last couple of weeks. I've actually got the hang of it.
Yeah.
It's been all right.
You had a bit of a set to of old Tim Lovejoy, didn't you?
Caned him.
Yeah.
Yeah, overstepped the mark a little bit.
Blocked us.
You said something about you're the only man who's written more books than he's read.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah, he's only, what, how many has he wrote? Two?
One.
Three? One.
How many has he wrote? I think he's written one.
I don't think he's written one.
No.
Yeah, true.
Someone wrote one for him.
Someone wrote it and one for him.
Yeah. But no, highlights of Twitter over the last couple of weeks.
We've had Twitter.
We've had, favourite football player.
Right, it's scintillating.
It's absolute madness.
Get involved, kids.
On Twitter. But that leads me to say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
Goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Lukey.
Yeah, bye.
James or Jim and I are off to Rome. Pete and Luke are staying here for some man shenanigans.
Come here, Pete. Come here.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.